they do different collages.
Right, and so we screen those.
Be 6 minutes behind, but we will start the Water Supply Committee meeting. First thing on the agenda is approval of the minutes from the December 3rd, 2019 meeting. Do I hear a motion to approve?
So moved.
Yeah, second.
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All right, motion carries 3-0. Up next is public comments. Is anybody here from the public to make any comments to the Water Supply Committee? Going once, going twice. All right, come on up.
Wasn't going to speak, but my name is Michael German, 1707 Snown Road. I live in the Snown community. That's already been an issue, always an issue, and our issue today, I'm willing to just wanted to say briefly our commitment and our through preservations. The sewer project is currently going on in our community. If you're not familiar with it, some of us who live in the county are not going to be able to get the sewer. We're in the process of trying to work through those loops, but we really don't understand why this day and time water supply, the town of Mount Pleasant Water Works, don't want to give those county residents that lives in close proximity sewer. It's something unbelievable in this date and time, and the only information we're getting is because you voted for this. But you voted on something that has a direct impact on me, and I have zero input. It's just amazing that in 2020, we're still operating as if we're back in the 30s when I had no voice. And more importantly is, why are you afraid to talk about me? We need to stop and have real discussions and not try to figure out what you think we want. Just ask me and we'll tell you. And I think that's part of the problem. That's why we're here, because nobody wants to listen. You make these decisions on your own, but I am right here. I'm not a danger. Just ask. We'll tell you what we want. But just in closing, I just want to say I think it's shameful, the fact that I have to be here to try to do something that's going to better not only our community, but the waterways. Shem Creek is already contaminated. The Wando's next, because Snowden borders the Wando. I'm still on a septic system, but there's an opportunity for me to tie in. But the bureaucracy and the definitions and the changings of minds of why I can't do what needs to be done is because you're making that decision, and it doesn't make very much sense. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else for public comment? Okay, going once, going twice, and we will close public comment and move on to item number 3 on the agenda is update on septic tanks in the Shem Creek watershed. And Mr. Duffy, I will turn this over to you.
Thank you, Chairman. You have on the screen, we're talking about the Shem Creek watershed. So this is, if you look at the map, the watershed boundary is highlighted in red. It doesn't show up very well on the screen, but it's a relatively large watershed. It extends up in this area all the way up near the old Kmart shopping center in that area, and then back and down and around in the Shem Creek behind Bayview. In this watershed, there's about 105 septic tanks left. There's been about 55 septic tanks taken offline over the last 10 years or so.
There's been how many?
55.
Okay.
And that was, you know, property redeveloped. You know, they need wastewater service that might have been adequate. Septic tanks might have been adequate years ago, but for the new development, they need public sewer. And so we've tied several, you know, like I said, 55 have been tied on here in the last 10 years or so. But we still have about 43 septic tanks that are in the town of Mount Pleasant. 10 of them have wastewater service immediately available. There's about 62 septic tanks that are in the same watershed, but they're in the county. They're in county properties, in donut holes. Peachtree Plaza is an example of that. You know, they're in the county, but they're, you know, they're on septic tank. So there's about 14 county properties that have wastewater service immediately available. And obviously, the town's mandatory connection ordinance does not apply in the county. So those septic tanks would have to be, you know, have to be willing to tie onto the sewer in order to come off of the septic tank. There's about 48 other properties that have septic tanks in the county that we would have to run lines to, which is a pretty expensive proposition. And this map here shows the priority in Mount Pleasant Water Works long-range plan to eliminate septic tanks. And look at priority one, those properties, those 43 properties that you see in red on that map are properties that are annexed into the town of Mount Pleasant today. So those properties are the only ones that we could require to tie on to the wastewater service when we make it available, okay? So to kind of update you on the 10, we have, this map shows the 10 properties that are in the watershed. And we have done work looking at the property, looking at the location of the wastewater service in relationship to the property. We have not done any on-site inspections at this point. We've made no contact with those residents at this point. There are 3 commercial properties and 7 residential properties. There are some issues with needing to acquire easements to be able to connect the building to the wastewater service. So those easements, you know, they are a complication that would have to be resolved. And so we're still working on that. We're the commissioners have yet to decide whether they will offer the same financial incentives to these residents as we offered to the Snowden residents. You know, we in the town have offered a pretty significant cost grant, basically, to those customers that are tying on to the new project over in Snowden. We haven't decided whether we would offer those same incentives to these folks. Right now, the town puts up $2,500, basically half the impact fee, and Mount Pleasant Water Works puts up $5,000 if you have an income of less than $75,000. So it's a pretty lucrative grant for people to, or incentive for people to tie on.
And the town puts in $2,500. The Water Commission puts in $5,000, or MPW puts in $5,000. What's the overall cost on that?
Sometimes it depends on how long of a line you have to run. You know, it could be a couple of $1,000s in addition to that, $7,500, or it could be $5,000 or $6,000. So it could be as high as $12,000. So the other thing is here's the example of all of the septic tanks. And there's a few clusters of septic systems. You see here is the, can you see that? I guess it'll be this way. This is the Peachtree Plaza, which is being redeveloped. So those will come offline? It's likely some of those septic systems mm-hmm. will come offline when they annex into the town and tie on to their new facilities onto the sewer system. Because it's available. There's a wastewater line that runs right down Broadway Street on the backside of Peachtree Plaza, so they have sewer readily available. This is Pelzer. There's about 14 homes on Pelzer. We were planning to serve them in our sewer and unsewered areas project in 1995. They declined. They didn't want to have sewer, so they opted out. This is Pine Hollow. This is Shade of Plenty. It's a mobile home park near the Catholic Church down on Camellia. Russell Drive, excuse me. They have septic tanks. They have campers in there primarily, but it's Shade of Plenty. So, and then Louise Terrace, this is a mix of commercial and residential. And some of that property is in the county as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're going to continue to move through the process. making contact with these folks, just speaking to Hillary a minute ago, making us aware of some of their outreach efforts to contact the folks that are on septic within the watershed. So I think together we're going to continue to move forward with trying to eliminate as many of these septic tanks as possible. And that's economically affordable, too.
Going back a couple of slides to the first one, you hit on the priorities. So priority one was they're not tied in, but it's readily available, or the line runs right in front of their lot. Is that what you mean by that?
Yeah, are the ones that are the priority ones, the ones that have sewer immediately available that are in the town of Mount Pleasant.
Okay, and then priority two is?
Those that are in the town that do not have sewer readily available that would require a line extension from our existing system.
So significant to cost.
To put the sewer system next to their property.
Okay. And then I guess on down the priority list would be county and
county,
readily available,
right,
would be the bottom priority.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Are there any particular areas? I know you did the clusters, but do we know if any particular cluster is more important to kind of work towards first? I mean, is there a priority among those, or as far as contributing to the overall amount of fecal matter in the creek?
Well, you know, if a septic tank's functioning properly, it's not necessarily a contaminant. It's just when they're old, they're not properly maintained, and they overflow, and then when it rains, you know, it washes the wastewater into the water body. But yeah, we would say let's eliminate all of the in-town systems first that have sewer readily available, mm-hmm, and then go and try to put sewer lines in front of the remaining properties that are in town, because those are the only properties that we can require connection. Yes, sir.
So, for instance, all of those ones on Pelzer, what would be like the overall cost of running that line? Do we know? And what kind of dollar figure are we looking at?
Well, to put gravity sewer in there, it's probably going to be about $500,000. Put gravity in there. No, they include no tap fees.
No tapping into it, just down the street.
That's just the main line. And honestly, that's a guesstimate. We have looked at providing alternative systems in there, low-pressure grinder pump systems that they'd have to have a pump at every house. But the main line that we would have to maintain would be much cheaper, smaller line, doesn't have to be laid on grade. It's what we call a force main. But we have yet to really study that. That's, like I said, that's our next priority, to really look at the true cost of that. That money's not in our capital plan right now, so yeah, we'd have to study each of the areas that are in the town that don't have sewer available, what that cost of providing sewer would be, and then get the commission to actually fund those projects.
Okay. Do y'all have any questions?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Duffy. Appreciate that.
Glad to be here.
We will move on to item number, 4 on the agenda, discussion of greener methods of development in regards to water usage. And I'll just kind of say where this item came from. So as the chair of water supply, I also serve on the as an ex officio member of the Water Commission. And in several of our committee meetings and things, this idea has come up of just the overall amount of water usage in the town. I'm sure everybody's read about the Google pulling water and you know, are we going to have enough water in the future? And so this idea of looking at landscape plans, things like that, and trying to promote in our design review process plants or such that don't involve so much water usage, essentially. So,
thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Over.
Good afternoon. Yeah, planning staff put together just some information for you to begin that discussion. We've been using this slide demonstration to demonstrate how we have two different sort of angles in the review process. On your the commercial development side going through DRB and then residential handled through the Planning Commission. All of those plans and submittals have to provide information related to our ordinance requirements. We really don't have sort of a direct regulations that really talk about water conservation, but it's more of an indirect, and just we just wanted to show you that. The Design Review Board is responsible for reviewing commercial and similar projects in this overlay area, and the overlay applies to various non-residential zoning districts that you see, all of those areas, except for single-family detached. And then if you're in a planned development district, there are some, the zoning there is planned development district. DRB takes a look at those projects. And then there are even some others that we look at through the additional overlays. So here are just some references, all contained within the zoning code itself, that deal with landscaping, and mostly it's requirements for native plants, indigenous plant species, more for, as you see here highlighted, the sense of place, retaining the character, less for water use, I mean, in terms of these requirements. Continuing on through, again, using the natural landscape, picking from that, from a palette of plants that would be native, natural, and adapt better or live longer in terms of used in a landscape setting. And then we require that in terms of understory trees, canopy trees, and have actually recommended species of trees that fit those categories. So on the number one, you have canopy trees, understories, and shrubs that are more suitable and more appropriate for our environment in using in the landscape plans. And that's only a piece of the chart. It actually looks like, well, it didn't do it. And then in buffer yards, plant species, at least half of the canopy and understory need to be native. So again, we apply those requirements as each subdivision, as each commercial non-residential development plan comes in. There's the full chart, so you can't read it. But it's been developed over the years to give guidance, and staff will make comments on those reviews about, you know, inadequacy of the plannings if they don't meet the percentages and the requirements. So with that, that's where we stand on landscaping requirements. Again, more of an indirect than a direct, where you say we're going to limit the amount of turf or whatever in particular developments.
You guys have any questions for him about that? Or?
I have a question about our tree bank fund. Do you know how much money is in that right now?
Somebody might.
She's got to flip through her 9-inch binder.
It's what? That?
I can tell you as of June 30th.
Okay.
It was under 200.
The reason I'm asking is we have this money for the tree bank for town properties, but is there any opportunity for those to be used for private or commercial properties as well? They could come to the tree bank?
They apply to the tree bank.
They can apply to the tree,
tree bank.
Okay.
It's typically an HOA.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's only for trees, though. It's not for, like, for example, one of the biggest uses of water is our lawns, like our green lawns. And so I've had people in my neighborhood kind of rip out the front end of their lawns and put in native plants and those kinds of things. So do we have anything in the town or through the tree bank? Can that be something that we incentivize people to do or offer, or is that, it's only just for trees?
Trees at this point.
Trees,
shrubs.
Trees?
Tree.
Just trees. Okay.
The canopy?
Four trees. Canopy,
canopy
trees.
Trees.
Okay. All right.
But you said or shrubs?
No.
No.
Oh, okay. Sorry. You asked all before.
Okay. So that's kind of what I was wondering is, you know, I think in drought-ridden areas, a lot of times there'll be like an incentive or I don't know if we can partner with local, you know, like Abide a Wild type things and say, hey, you know, can we have a push for native plants and encourage our citizens to move in that direction? Yes.
Well, you could consider drought tolerant plants as the ones that you would provide an incentive for.
But I think our tree bank is limited by ordinance. Is that correct?
Like town ordinance?
Mm-hmm. There is an ordinance about the tree bank and what goes in and all of those pieces. But there's also a grant program that runs through CAP that encourages neighborhoods to put in. I think we budget about $10,000 a year that goes out, and they can apply. And I think it splits the cost with them on some beautification, things like that. I can get the details to you.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be good to share out to people. I think that's seeing the language that you've presented definitely is encouraging. I think, you know, a lot of the discussions that came up had to do with, you know, indigenous plants or what have you, that, you know, if they're local plants, they're made to withstand local conditions and don't need, you know, the amount of water coverage. The only other
PR. Question. They don't need CPR.
Yeah, exactly. The only other question I have with that is, and maybe this is a discussion for public services or whatever, and Mr. Duffy, correct me if I'm wrong, but the town is the biggest water user in the town?
Town is. You are our largest customer.
And even some of our road projects that you drive past in the summer have an awful lot of irrigation going on. In the medians and things like that. And so I would just, I don't know what committee or whoever, to just kind of encourage us to really make sure we're taking a look at that when we're designing our road projects or working with SCDOT for the landscaped areas, landscape medians, that sort of thing. There's a lot of water. So. All right. Anybody have anything else?
No.
Do you guys have any other comments about what we've said?
Sure.
All right. We stand adjourned.
Thank you.
Thanks.